Our scripture today comes from Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, not hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes, so you can see. To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he or she with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have prayer requests or a praise report, we want to hear that. We want to pray with you, so send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, today I'm concluding our series titled Letters from Jesus. As we look at the book of Revelation chapters 1 through 3, we see that Jesus appeared to John in a vision while he was in exile, and Jesus tells John to write down what he sees and send it to seven particular churches in Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey, where our hearts still go out to all those impacted by the recent earthquakes there. Revelation 1:11 reads, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We've seen Jesus had particular words to share with each one of these churches. It was a time of persecution, upheaval, and uncertainty. And yet Revelation's overarching theme is one of hope and encouragement for Christ followers in the midst of any difficulty. We've already looked at the church in Ephesus, where believers had forsaken their first love, the church at Smyrna, where believers experienced persecution and were encouraged not to fear, and the church at Pergamum, where some appeared to hold to teaching that was leading to idolatry and sexual immorality, and Jesus called it out. And the church at Thyatira, where some believers were tolerant of sin and teaching that again was leading to idolatry and sexual immorality. And again, Jesus called it out. And then the church at Sardis, it looked alive outwardly, but inwardly it was spiritually dying. And the church at Philadelphia that held on to their faith and refused to deny the name of Jesus. And we've seen each church, each believer is encouraged to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Each person is encouraged to respond to what the Spirit of God says to the churches. For some, it might be to repent and to follow Jesus. For others, it's to keep the faith, to trust, to believe, or persevere, even in times of suffering. The consistent message is, those who overcome will be blessed and enjoy the promises of God. This is the final message in this series on the seven churches. And of the seven churches, none receives a more scathing rebuke than Laodicea. Located 90 miles east of Ephesus and 45 miles south of Philadelphia, Laodicea was a prosperous city known for mineral springs located a few miles away. Outwardly, the church appeared to be strong and blessed. Laodicea was a comfortable place to live and a comfortable place to go to church. Yet Jesus had strong words for this community. Again, Jesus identifies himself distinctively, Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." Amen is usually the final word of a prayer. It means more than "I'm finished" or "let's eat." When Jesus calls himself the Amen, he is declaring that he indeed is the last word. The last word in human history. The last word in your personal life. Not cancer, not divorce, not bankruptcy, not death. Jesus will have the last word in your life and mine. He is the faithful and true witness as well. We can trust him completely. What he says is true. Jesus is the faithful and true witness of God's love, salvation, and power. When the world wonders if there is any love, salvation, or power from on high, we point to Jesus. We point to his life, his death, his resurrection. For those willing to look into his story, it points to God's amazing love, his marvelous gift of salvation, and his Holy Spirit power that can change lives. It happened in Jesus' day. It continues to happen in our day as well for those who choose to believe. Jesus has strong words, though, for the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3:15, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other." Jesus calls for commitment, decision, action when it comes to his kingdom, his salvation. Not a lukewarm, neither hot nor cold response. How do you become lukewarm in faith? Well, by doing nothing. Just by being conformed to the environment around you. Rather than letting your faith change and shape the world around you, you slowly let the world mold and change you. Have you ever seen that happen? We go to a camp or attend a retreat and make a bold decision for Christ, and then over time we forget what that decision was about. God moves on our hearts to be more faithful in worship or serving others. And then we don't take the steps to do it. The congregation at Laodicea had gotten comfortable and didn't even understand what was happening. Jesus is not pleased with lukewarm Christianity. Why does Jesus detest lukewarmness so much? Mostly because persons in this condition don't even know it. They slip into a state of such total indifference that they don't even realize their spiritual condition. "I'm doing fine," or so they think. Such a person can be unreachable unless you shock them out of their condition. And that's what Jesus does. Revelation 3:16, "So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." That will get your attention in a hurry. Nothing like this was said to the compromising church at Pergamum or even the morally corrupt church at Thyatira. In some ways, they were more reachable than the comfortable Laodiceans. At least they could see the error of their ways because it was definite and clear. Not so with lukewarmness. And as I thought about this, it occurred to me that, you know, This sin is especially likely among longtime churchgoers. If we're not careful, we can get lukewarm and comfortable in our relationship with God. Do we have the fire anymore? Are we neither hot nor cold, but instead lukewarm? Jesus calls out self-sufficiency, arrogance, and pride. Revelation 3:17. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. Here Jesus reveals that the center of the problem is our heart. And until our heart is changed, nothing can change. Note that little phrase, you say. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. Self-sufficiency and arrogance had blinded them to their true spiritual condition. You know, money has a way of doing that to all of us. We love money because with money we can buy with it whatever we want. Money does crazy things to people, even to really nice Christians. It makes us think that we're doing better than we really are. It insulates us sometimes to the pain of the rest of the world. It gives us false proof that we must be doing something right. Let's be clear, though, on one point. Money is not the problem. It's not the money, but the love of money that gets us into trouble. Money gives us a fake sense of security. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need anything from God or anyone else. Have you ever been there? You actually, spiritually, are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. How does that happen? Pride, self-sufficiency. We close ourselves off to God. We think, I don't need God's light or love or wisdom, salvation, presence, power. When the truth is, we all need these things. Every one of us needs what only God can give. But will we realize it? Will we humble ourselves? Will we allow God's Spirit to convict us, to impact us? I've been reading and watching online accounts of this revival that began at Asbury College on Wednesday, February 8th, and has been going on ever since. Maybe you've heard about it. And one of the marks of this Holy Spirit move of God there in Kentucky has been a posture of humility and seeking. The students who have been providing leadership are seeking to keep repentance, prayer for one another, worship, and testimony at the center of what is going on. And God seems to be blessing it. People who experience it are being impacted. People there are obviously encountering God. And then people across the nation and around the world are being impacted as well because of news, social media feeds, clips. Often the work God wants to do in our lives begins with moments of humility, self-awareness, and repentance. We say, God, I need you. God, I need you. And Jesus offers us what we truly need. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. The world is always offering us false idols, shallow solutions, fleeting pleasures that we think we need. Jesus is the life source of what we really need. True riches, gold refined in the fire that comes to us through our everyday relationship with Jesus. Spiritual blessings that we can't get any other way. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The gifts of the Spirit, some of which are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, discernment, tongues, helps, administration, serving. The presence of the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, convict, and teach as we need. We buy from Jesus gold refined in the fire and white clothes to wear to cover our shameful nakedness. Yes, we are spiritually naked and ashamed. We need a covering, a cleansing that truly Jesus can give us as we look to His sacrifice for us on the cross. He is the one who gives us new white clothes in exchange for the filthy rags we wear. Gold refined in the fire, white clothes to cover us, and salve for our eyes so we can see clearly. Our eyes are naturally blinded by the things of this world. We don't see things as they really are. We only see what we want to or what the world wants us to see. But the salve of Jesus' grace and truth helps us to see in 3D. We see the big picture, our true selves, and we understand God's plan for us in the middle of everything going on in the world. And get this, Jesus loves us enough to call us out. Post, call us out. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I what? Rebuke and discipline. So, be earnest and repent. Jesus loves you. He loves you and me so much, He is willing to confront, to rebuke, to discipline us. For what? Well, for anything that's keeping us from Him or from God. It could be pride, arrogance, or indifference. It could be pornography, lust, sexual immorality. It could be alcohol, drugs, weed. It could be sports, gambling, gaming. It could be money, sex, power. Jesus says, those I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Post repent in the chat. To repent means to change direction, to go the other way, to turn around. Repentance is always the first step toward God doing a new thing in your life and mine. Remember, both John the Baptist and Jesus said to people, repent and believe. The kingdom of God is here. And remember this, Jesus is always reaching out. Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is always reaching out, always extending love and grace and salvation and peace to everyone. No one is excluded. Everyone is welcome in Jesus' kingdom. Here I am. I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, there it is. We have to respond. A person living in the world has to respond. Anyone living a life of sin and darkness can, and we pray, does respond, does open the door. And when we open the door, Jesus comes in. I'll come in and eat with them and them with me. Jesus offers all of us that kind of intimacy, that kind of a friendship, that kind of a relationship. It is the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. And the simple key is an open heart, a heart that's no longer lukewarm or indifferent or uninterested, but a heart that is open, open to Jesus and willing to receive. When we become comfortable in our faith, like the Laodiceans, we can become arrogant, proud, even blind. Jesus doesn't want that. He calls it out. Don't be lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, but instead come with humility, with repentance and openness. Open the door of your heart to my knocking. I, Jesus, he says, am the one who will come into your life with true riches that you need. Let's pray. Let's pray about that. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, we are thankful for Jesus' letter to the church at Laodicea. We need to hear it. We need to receive it as a word for our time, our generation, our world. So often we are comfortable, self-sufficient, and lacking nothing. And yet, Jesus says we're actually poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. Oh Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see the true condition of our hearts. Give us wisdom and courage to admit our sins and shortcomings and our need for repentance and change. Oh Lord, we come to you just as we are. Jesus, asking you to forgive us, to heal us, to restore us. And you're the one who can do it. Hallelujah! We give praise and thanks and glory to you. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. If you make a decision in your life, a new decision about your walk with Jesus, I'd love to hear about that too. Hey, thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us care and reach out to new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online, use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of all of our discipleship opportunities. Find the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus is the one who loves you enough to call you out. He's the one who's always reaching out as well. For now, what one thing do you need to turn over to Jesus?
My husband gets really frustrated with my sense of direction. We had a huge fight the other night.
Oh my gosh, what happened?
I packed my stuff and I write.
Full Circle Worship meets on the second Wednesday and the fourth Sunday of the month. Full Circle is an interactive experience beginning with worship and ending in small groups. You won't want to miss it. Our next Full Circle is February 26th.
Do you have a hobby but your house and walls can't hold another item you make? Please join us to share your hobby and service to others. If you can only cut or glue stuff, we need you too. Our homemade items are shared with those in the community who need to feel loved.
Ash Wednesday is February 22nd. We will have an opportunity for an imposition of ashes from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and an Ash Wednesday service at 6 p.m.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.